it's lovely to be with you this morning, even though we don't get to do that in a physically present kind of way. But it is great that we have means like video and audio to communicate with each other. I hope that you're all staying safe and enjoying some of the easing of the restrictions. I got to see my sister and my niece yesterday, which is really lovely. It's currently Tuesday and I'm filming this for Sunday, which will be Mother's Day. So a big happy Mother's Day to all our mums out there. Today we are going to have a quick look at Hannah from 1 Samuel. But also I want to give you a bit of an insight into my own journey. So for those of you who don't know, I'll tilt the camera down and show you, but on my way to becoming a first-time mum, I know most of you know that, but it's becoming more and more obvious as the days go on. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to this experience and to what it will bring. I am looking forward to what God might teach me out of this experience. There's a lot of excitement. There's a little bit of fear and apprehension as well. But I've had some really good people around me. So I appreciate those who have been praying for me and looking after me as well. So at the moment, we're facing a whole lot of uncertainty. And the funny thing for me is like that has been a lot of my journey into motherhood. So I wanted to tell you a little bit about that. And then I want to talk about Hannah, because Hannah has always struck a chord with me. And I think her story is a beautiful story into motherhood. And there's some really lovely things we can see about her faith and her loyalty to God. So as many of you know, John and I got married about 3 years ago. And when we first got married, we both talked about a real desire to have children. But we also were both keen to wait at least a year, build a little bit of a marriage at least first before bringing children into the picture. And so that's what we did. We waited about a year and then after a holiday decided we would start trying for children. And months went by, nothing happened. The first few months, you know, we kind of expected nothing to happen. But then after a few more months, nothing happened still. And it became, instead of just like, oh, well, it takes a little while, it started to become actually quite devastating. Month after month, seeing the same negative results. And there are a lot of tears, mostly shed by myself. I'm definitely the emotional one of the two of us. But eventually we came to a place of needing to start seeing some doctors and doing some tests. And after quite a while, we decided that IVF was the way to go for us. Now, I know God was with us the whole time, in our sadness, in all the days that we were so hopeful, when the symptoms seemed to fit, and in those moments of just absolute disappointment and devastation where the symptoms fit and I felt like rubbish and I was not pregnant. However, the day John and I decided that we would try IVF, God showed up in the most incredible, tangible way for us. We had just left a doctor's appointment and we'd had this discussion in the car where we said, I think that we need to start this IVF journey. I think we need to. We'd already seen a couple of specialists. We'd seen one IVF doctor. But we'd gotten to a point where we thought, yep, this is something that we're going to have to do. And we both kind of walked into it having no idea what it was all about and what we were going to face. But we made that decision that morning. And so then I went on to have breakfast with a friend of mine. And after that, I decided to pick up my wedding dress. Now, John and I had been married for just over 2 years at this stage. And my mother actually had put my dress in for cleaning because it was way too long overdue. And so that this morning I decided I would go to Epping, I'd pick up my dress. So I went to pick up my dress and I ran around Epping trying to find cash because they'd only take cash as payment for the dry cleaning. And I don't know if you've been to Epping recently, but ATMs spit out like $20 or $40 increments and that's kind of it. So it took me a little while. And normally being me, I would just think, you know what, I'll get cash out somewhere else. I'll come back another day. However, this particular day, I decided to persevere. And when I got to the shop, it was actually closed. So my hard work, my racing around, and there was no one there. But there was another lady waiting outside. She called ahead and she said, oh, they did say they were going to be open. So we stood and we waited. And, of course, while we waited, we had a good chat. And I just asked, you know, what are you doing here? Are you picking up a wedding dress? And she was just telling me, yeah, she was picking up an addition to her dress and that her and her husband-to-be had planned quite a small wedding because they were looking at starting the IVF journey. And for them, that's where they needed to put their concentration. and their time and their effort, but they wanted to have a wedding. They didn't want the whole big hurrah. And it was funny because I just looked at her and I was like, oh, that's so interesting. This morning my husband and I decided that we would start looking down that road of IVF. So it was just this kind of funny moment of like, oh, it's funny that you would tell me this. It's interesting that you would tell me this about yourself, that you would open up what can be quite a private journey to a stranger. But obviously there was something in our conversation that made her trust that conversation and let her speak about it. And I said to her, you know, it's so hard because it can be such an expensive process. And then she told me about her clinic that she'd been going through and how they bulk build a lot of the stuff, and it really significantly cut the cost. It, like, not free, but definitely substantially less of a financial strain. And so she gave me the name of her clinic, and yeah, and that was it. And it was just a funny day because I knew God was in this process and God was going to be in this process. And it's actually been one of the most profound experiences of my life to have seen God show up time and time again. And look, it has been a trying time for us. It has been a hard time to remember the whole time that God is there. God was there so tangibly that day, like just the way that the circumstances lined up, I couldn't have attributed it to anyone else. However, in the midst of needles and medications and a million blood tests, it was at times hard to remember that God was with us. There was not one point in this process where I felt like I've had control over it. But I know, and as I look back, I can see that in our moments of heartbreak, in our moments of greatest joy, that God was with us in those places, that God saw us. He saw our pain. He was with us in our joy. And I have been learning, and I won't say I have learned, because I am still learning, and I don't think very quickly. I'm learning to trust God no matter what happens, to trust in his goodness and to trust in his love for me and the fact that he won't forsake me, even if I feel like maybe that's what's happening. I've known God's presence in this journey, in the pain, in the joy, in the frustration, in the disappointment, and in the excitement. This has been my personal experience. Both when I've seen him at work, and like I said in that story, like I could see him at work that day. Like I kept just being like, really? Like, what else are you going to bring up today? But also in those moments of silence where I felt like, how long is the waiting going to take? God has been there in all of those moments. And, you know, it's a common story, right? We see it throughout the Bible, the way that God is weaved into every story. And that's why I thought today we could have a look at Hannah's story. And as I said to you before, this is a story that really resonates with me. And it has resonated with me since I was a young teenager, which I find really interesting. And I wonder whether God wasn't already doing a work in my heart to prepare me for what was to come. So as we read the first two chapters of 1 Samuel, and I won't read them to you now, but I do encourage you to go and read them. We see a picture of Hannah and her relationship with God. She is an Israelite woman who is married to an upstanding man who loves her and who follows all the traditions, does all the things he's meant to do as an Israelite. We are told in Samuel, we're told that in Samuel that he loves his wife. And I really like that. We've seen it before, haven't we? Like Abraham and Sarah. That he really loved his wife, even though she couldn't give him a child. It had no impact on his love for his wife. You see, Hannah lived in a time where her main role as a woman and as a wife was to bear children, and she couldn't do that. I mean, how devastating. There weren't other options in those days. You couldn't go and see a doctor and try and figure it out. She couldn't fulfill her role in life and probably what she had been envisaging her whole life as well. And I don't think it's just a societal they expected women to have children. most women do have a desire for that. And it's not all women. But I think, you know, many women do. And she couldn't do it. And I know the feeling of devastation that that brings. But to make matters worse, in those days, it often meant that a second wife would be necessary, a wife who could bear children and who could have an heir for their husband. And so despite the fact that her husband really loved her, there was a second wife there, a wife who had children, a wife who was able to do what Hannah could not. So not only could she not have children, but there was a constant reminder there that she couldn't. And I am both enamored and devastated by the picture we see of Hannah as she comes before God, this woman who is just so broken. And she says, and let me read it to you, "Lord Almighty, if you only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and do not forget your servant, but give her a son, I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life." And, you know, I read that in this nice kind of calm voice, but she was in such a state of grief and agony that Eli comes to her and mistakes her for being drunk. Can you imagine how raw a state she would have needed to be in? And, you know, that without a second thought, this guy comes up to her and says, "Put away the wine." She's in that kind of state that he can only see a woman who is drunk and disheveled rather than completely grieved and disheveled. But she corrects him, humbly telling him she's not drunk on beer or wine, but she's deeply troubled and pouring her heart out, pouring that trouble out to God. You know, she tells him she has been praying out of her anguish and her grief. And that's how grieved she is by this. So grieved. I don't know if you've seen people when they're really drunk and disheveled and have no real awareness of how they're coming across to other people. But she's in such a state of anguish that she doesn't care as she comes before God and lays everything on the table for him. And Eli sees her heart and her pain, and her trust and dependence on God. And he says to her, "Go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked for." And Hannah walks away from this experience with God, from this moment with Eli. And we're told that her face is no longer downcast. Now, she's not pregnant, nor is she guaranteed to become so. But this time spent leaving her burdens with God and this moment with Eli has left her in a place where she's no longer weighed down by the weight of her grief. We're told the next day that her and her family arise and they worship God, and off they go. Still no pregnancy, still no promise of that. But we're told after some time, and we don't know how long, that Hannah does conceive a child and that she calls him Samuel. God remembered her and God allowed her to conceive Samuel. And in return, she keeps her promise to God that she would consecrate this child to him. And well, we see the result of that, don't we, in the rest of the book of 1 Samuel and on into 2 Samuel as well. We see the incredible work that God does through her son, who is just like his mother, a faithful servant of God. Hannah passes on this incredible faith and loyalty to God, to her son that she gave to God before he was even conceived. After the birth of Samuel, and before we launch into, and we're not going to this morning, but before the book launches into the rest of the story, we actually see this beautiful prayer of Hannah's. And we see this a number of times with women in the Bible, these beautiful songs and prayers, just acknowledging who God is. her response to what she's seen and who she's experienced God to be. And through this prayer, Hannah is prophesying of who God is and what he's going to do, not just in the next few chapters, but also in the time to come. She tells us of who God is, that he is someone who opposes the proud and he exalts the humble, that despite the wrong and evil in people's hearts, God is at work, and that God will give strength to his king. Hannah is a beautiful picture of biblical motherhood. And I use that word biblical motherhood tentatively because I don't think we're given one picture of what it looks like to be a godly mother or a biblical mother, but I think we are given glimpses of what motherhood looks like when godly women raise children, as we are fatherhood as well, but this morning we hone in on mothers as it's Mother's Day. We see that this woman who God has gifted a child becomes so faithful in raising that child, and it's not for selfish reasons. She doesn't do it for her own glory or her own gain, but for God, to the extent that she hands this child willingly back to the God who allowed her to have him. You know, I think we can glean from Hannah's story. I think what we can glean from Hannah's story and bring into our own is the faithfulness of God. That we might trust him enough to be raw and hurting. That we might trust him to be a part of our greatest triumphs, our wins, but also our deepest griefs. That we would pour our heart out to him, knowing his goodness and his mercy and his love for us. Trusting that no matter what we face and whether we feel it or not, that God is with us and is worthy of our trust.
I think from the beginning of when we became parents, we had to rely a lot on God and what he what he was doing and trust him, and so I think that that's something that's kind of carried through being a parent and being a mother, is just that, yeah, we've got to trust God and rely on him in everything that we're doing.
That you can't control anyone or anything.
Is how mind-blowing it is that as much as I love my own daughter, God, my own Father, Heavenly Father, loves me even so much more.
This stage where I'm at is listening intentively and just hearing what my kids are asking and what they have to say.
I think that God has taught me just to trust him because I just can't do it on my own. So I have to trust him with everything.
Mum is probably the most crazy, difficult, challenging, humbling, and joyful experience. I think it's definitely not easy, but it's the best thing ever.
Is seeing your kids have that aha moment from the "but why" to understanding that, and then going on to doing life well.
Is the wonderful relationship that Elizabeth and I have always had. And doing life together has been delightful.
I love being a mum because it just produces so much love. And I get to express that through care, through serving, through providing just that somebody that they can rely on all the time, 100%. And just watching them grow and becoming independent young people.
I love the hilarity. I just love my kids. And I know that I get to walk life through life with them.
Take I tickle you and I love you.
Pretty much everything. She's the best mom that I could have asked for, and I really wouldn't change anything because otherwise she wouldn't be my mom.
Her dedication to everything that she does and how she always tries her best in everything. And I think it's also incredible how she shows love to everyone she comes into contact with.
My mum is always there for me when I'm going through something difficult. She sets aside her time to support me no matter what I'm going through, and I'm very thankful for that.
Is that each and every day she works hard to provide me with what I need and look after me.
One thing I love about my mum, good question. Off the top of my head, I'd probably say that our eyes match, don't they? Look at that.
I gotta say, she is a lot of things, but she is very loving and she's very forgiving, which comes in hand when you're a daughter.
To be a nice friend.
Mom has taught me pretty much everything in life, from how to plan to make it through school, but also she's guided me on how to grow up as a Christian woman, and it's been something which I've really appreciated.
Is that to be really content in who I am and who God has created me to be, because I'm just so loved and part of His unique creation.
Particularly the value of making the most of your time on earth, and of relationships and of investing in your future. That's something that I'll definitely take with me throughout my life journey.
Is to be loving and kind to people even if they're not the same to you.
One thing she's taught me is that if you put in your bed linen for half an hour before you go to sleep, after you've washed it, it's nice and fluffy.
Put it in what?
The dryer.
She taught me how to drive and do a lot of things like iron and not cook, but a lot of stuff. So
a big thank you to all the mums and children who recorded videos for us. Wasn't it lovely to just see some familiar faces and hear from people we haven't maybe seen in a little while? I definitely was encouraged by it. Also, let me say a huge thank you to all the women in our church. Whether you be a biological mother to someone in our church or a spiritual mother to many in our congregation, we appreciate your leadership, your love, your kindness, your care, all of your prayers and all the conversations we have with you. It's such an important part of our community and we're very blessed by it. So thank you to all of you. I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day and may God bless and keep each of you this week. I look forward so much. I'm so excited today when we can actually see each other in person. How much are we going to have to celebrate after being apart for so long? So until then, God bless you, and I'll see you when we can finally come back together. Bye.